What in the world does that story have to do with fighting fair? What does that have to do with healthy conflict in a hostile world? Jesus wants to be friends with everyone. That's great news, right? Every week he gets me. He waits a little longer and I forget. But Jesus wants to be friends with everyone. Do you want to be friends with everyone? Oh, is that, what, I mean, everyone doesn't look or think or act or vote with like we do. Everyone doesn't agree with everything we agree with. But you know what? Jesus doesn't just want to be friends with everyone. He calls us to be friends with everyone who says yes to being his friend. So while we have been talking about how to handle conflict when it happens, how to deal with it, we've been going through the steps and measures to look at ourselves first, check our own hearts, come in fair, understand the opponent, understand their side of things, and then how to deal with it when it really happens. Today, we want to talk about how to actually avoid some of the conflict before we ever get to it. We want to talk about one of the roots of conflict, and that's our differences. And we want to learn how those differences actually make our relationships better instead of destroying our relationships when we let God work and submit to him. Amen, church? Amen. Oh, let's try that again. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. All right. And so today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to have verses 12 to 27. I'm going to read a lot of that for you. We're going to key in on a few key verses together, but I invite you to turn there. We're going to be in the NIV for most of it. I am going to change over to the New Living Translation for a couple verses. I will let you know when. But I want to start just by reading 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14 to you. Paul is talking here, and he says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of one part, not of one part, but of many." I want to go back to the shoes that we saw. I want to go back to the fact that Jesus doesn't want to be friends with just one kind of person. Jesus wants to be friends with everybody, and in that calls us to be friends with everybody that says yes to that. And not just friends, but it says to be one with them. In the video, we saw all the different kinds of shoes, right? And we didn't even see all the ones that were in the chest, but I can imagine lawyer shoes and trash man shoes and president's shoes and doctor shoes and teacher shoes and mom shoes. And every one of those pairs of shoes is really, really different. But every one of them is really, really necessary and important. And so Paul is really coming at the same idea here, just with a little different example of the body. I'm going to go on and read to you verses 15 to 20. Paul's talking, and he says, "Now if the foot should say," because remember, we're talking about one body, right? Not just one friend, not just one acquaintance, but one entity. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." Do me a favor, read. Let me see. We've got verse 18 up here bolded. See the big letters? Read that with me. "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. Sometimes we get part envy. We want to go do something else. We want to go be something else. Sometimes we want to quit and not be part of a team anymore. Sometimes people drive us away, hurt us. We step out. When I was in high school, I was in Orlando, Florida. I live with my grandparents. And I know they have marching band up here. I got really excited to go to a football game, not see the football game one time, but see the halftime show. And the marching band came out, and I was like, there's like 24 people out there. What is that? That's not a marching band. See, I grew up in Central Florida, and in the South, marching band is a big deal. Like, it's a really big deal. We weren't top of the state. We weren't the best school. We weren't the wealthiest. As a matter of fact, where I went to high school, we were lower middle class. My senior year, we marched 350 people for marching band in our halftime show. 350 people. Now, I want you to picture 350 teenagers. Like, we saw 150 Marines the other night. Like, this is even worse, right? Like, 350 teenagers. Second week of school, this is Central Florida, so at the end of August, it is still 95 degrees after school. It is hot. We are trying to learn the last parts of our halftime show formation because it is Thursday and game day is tomorrow, and our band director is losing his ever-loving mind. And with 350 of us on the practice field, he's up on a big, tall ladder, and finally he blows his stack, and he says, everybody find your spots! Now, by the way, humor for everyone, we had one incredibly courageous 4-foot-nothing majorette who went, here, spot, 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 here, spot, I gotta find you. That was not the right move, by the way. However, 30 years later, I still remember it. So, but he needed us to find our spots because every person in every spot mattered. And you might think with 350 people, it didn't matter if one person was off or if two or three people were missing. But let me tell you, we would go back and watch those tapes. And it is amazing. With 350 people moving in different directions and different formations, you can see where one person is one step out of line. And you can absolutely see when someone is missing. There's a hole there. There's an absence there. And I can tell you, our little piccolo players would not look at our bass drummers and think that they were important, and the other way is the same thing. But every one of them mattered. And the first thing I wanted to catch from this, and by the way, that was just our band director. Verse 18 says that God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. God has a spot for you, and it matters. And so the first thing I want us to understand from kiddos to adults is that everyone has a place. How often does the church get hurt? How often do families and businesses get hurt? How often do organizations, from Pee-wee soccer to corporate America, get hurt? Because we make people feel like they don't belong. But we're not going to do that, are we? Because Ollie would come and get us. All right, so let's keep going from there. Let's start with everyone has a place. I want to invite you to read with me verses 21 and 22. We are going to shift over to the New Living Translation. It's just a little easier to understand. No profound theological differences. I'm not leading you astray. So let's read together, please. The eye can never say to the hand, I need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. The eye that thinks it's all of that can't say to the hand, you're not necessary. Right? We can't do that. Guys, the reality is that we get really wrapped up in how important we think we are sometimes. I know none of you in this room have ever thought yourselves too much at times. Not ever. Not ever. It is just me. Pastor will take all the fault on that one. Culture teaches us to think we're more important. Culture teaches us to think we're the best, we have it our way, it's all about us. And this is saying that that's not true. This is saying that no one part is more important than the other. You can be the most beautiful eye with the most expensive makeup and the best colored contacts in the whole wide world, but you're not getting anywhere without the feet, without the baby toe, as a matter of fact. And so that's great in a body analogy. We can all laugh. But what does that mean for us in the church? What does it mean for us in our marriages and in our families and in our lives? Like here at church on a Sunday morning, worship was awesome, by the way, y'all, this morning. You guys did a fantastic job. Like, worship is the thing. We had the door open. Worship draws people in. Worshiping God is incredibly important. Like, we literally were created to worship God. We are in need of hearing the word, the message. It's important. But without Pastor Rick coming at 6 a.m. to put the signs out on the street, without the greeters, did you notice there's no window at the door at Black Box? Without our greeters standing out there outside to open the door to greet people, to let people in, by the way, oh, that's lovely today. Y'all are like, that's a great job. I want to be a greeter today. Y'all were hovering out there. They want to know where you were last week when it was 27 degrees and they were standing outside making sure there was somebody to open that metal door, because how would you like to be a visitor and walk up to a big, giant, closed metal door? Would you ever walk in the door to hear, to worship, to get the word? You see, every part matters. Even in your businesses, you know, there are all these different types of leadership that we have, right? There are authoritarian leaders, and there are participatory leaders, like team builders. There are the leaders who delegate to other people. They're great at raising up other leaders. There are transactional leaders. They're the management rule followers. They are the Pastor Rick, like, in the room, right? Like, here's the system. We have a system. We got to follow that system. And there are transformational leaders. Nobody's listening to you, Pastor Rick. They all know it's true. And there are the visionaries that drive everybody else crazy. Can I get an amen from the booth? Yes, yes, indeed, indeed. And we could think, oh, well, you only need one of those. This type, it's best to be a visionary leader. No, because you need 10 managers to handle one real visionary leader. Like, to execute that, you gotta have that. And if you think all authoritarian leaders are bad, let me tell you what, in a crisis, nobody needs someone who wants to collaborate. In a crisis, there needs to be one strong voice that is solid at its core and integrity and can lead people where they need to go. All those things together matter. And we strive so much in our society to be the person out front or to be the best we think we should be. Husbands and wives, there's all this striving sometimes for control or authority. And the reality is that we all lead better together. We all do the things better together. We place value and significance on being out front, but God is saying, hold on. That's not where the value and significance is. The value and significance is in every single part. And you don't get to dismiss anybody else. When you guys were coming into service last week, you may have heard some celebration going on. The Nairns are joining us online this morning. But we had a big old celebration happening because Jeremiah's Vex Robotics team won a big award at state and is going to nationals. It had just happened last Saturday. So excited for them, right? They are going to Dallas. It's actually not nationals, it's worlds. Excuse me. I can almost hear Jeremiah going, no, it's worlds. It's worlds. He wouldn't do that, though. His mom would, but it's okay. No, it's all good. But it's worlds, and that's something to be celebrated. You know what is interesting, and I learned from his sister last week, Michaela said, yeah, they didn't actually win the whole competition. Like, they got knocked out earlier on in the day. But they got this award, the design award, for creativity and innovation. You see, sometimes we place so much weight on being the winning team that we miss that it takes the designers, the innovators, the creators who can think up the next game, who can think up the next challenge, who can think up a solution that maybe isn't even executable yet, but they can dream it and then others can build it that win. And that's why those kids are going to Worlds, because the leaders of this organization recognize that it's not always about who's the last man standing as much as it's about who brings what gifts to the table, and it's all important. So, church, I have a question for us. Whether it's here or at home or at work or in the PTA or whatever club you're in, who are we overlooking or underestimating? Who are we looking at and going, I don't need you to make this work, only to cut ourselves off literally at the knees? And by the way, for a lot of us in different seasons of our lives, the person that we're most overlooking and most underestimating is ourself. We've heard too many voices for too long saying, I don't need you, hand. I don't need you, foot. I don't need you. You're not important. And I want to tell you, God says, we can't do it without you. God says you matter. God says you are the reason that it will all work. And so let me tell you, God sees you and God knows you and God loves you and you have a spot and you belong. Amen, church. So let's keep reading. We've got two more verses, verses 23 and 24. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. Pause. Can you go back? For all of us that have times needed attention and we have been, well, I haven't been. Y'all have been the all-stars and the athletes and the rock stars and the superstars. The more honorable parts do not require the same special care. We're going to unpack that in a minute. Let's keep going. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. What in the world does that mean? We like to give honor to the people out front. Y'all are all the time, and I appreciate it. Don't hear me wrong. I give glory to God for anything that he brings through this. I appreciate your support. I need it. But y'all all the time, oh, Pastor Jen, you do this. Pastor Jen, thanks. Pastor Jen, that was great. None of it happens without Pastor Rick. Y'all don't see the heavy lift he does all week long. Everything that happens in that booth, he and his team, and he is back there having a fit with me because he does not like to be called out. Everything he leads his team to do to make sure that what happens in here goes out there for all our family that are online, to make sure that the slides are done, to do all the things, and all the people, not just him, all the people that make that happen. They deserve honor and credit, and we all deserve and need to start and understand what they go through as they do some of the things that are less seen and less lauded, less applauded. I love at Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, which is a huge, amazing church. When you want to serve on one of their teams, you know what the rule is, or at least it used to be. I didn't go back and fact check this, so 6 years ago it was the rule. You served cleaning bathrooms for the first year, period. And after that, you could be on a worship team. After that, you could be on a prayer team. After that, you could see what was next. But everybody started out cleaning toilets for a year. How much more would we appreciate everyone if we did that? The other night, Tuesday night, when we were there feeding the Marines, and this happened at both, but it was most noticeable at the 1 a.m., because the Marines came back. So we were there, we brought the food in, they actually beat us there, we were all worried about that, we got all the food out, but then we're in this big room, we have this food that smells incredible, it's now 1:30 in the morning, they have worked all day long, they have been on high alert. What they are responsible for is huge. And they have been on high alert for the entire State of the Union address, right? And they are tired and they have to stand in these lines and they spend an hour turning in all their controlled items, that they have to turn in before they can come over to this baked ziti that this restaurant provided that smells amazing, right? You think they were hungry? Think they were tired? Think they were ready to eat? Y'all don't think so? Oh my gosh. Look, I was ready to eat, and I hadn't had any food yet. I didn't. It wouldn't have gone well, but, you know, and so there's a saying in the military, rank has its privileges. Like, it's actually an acronym, R-H-I-P, rank has its privileges. Senior ranking people get to go first. Senior ranking people get more stuff. You've earned your way, all the things. But see, as senior ranking people, as those more powerful, more honorable parts, you have a responsibility. And so the commanding officer stepped back and said, all junior Marines, you eat first. And so the kids who had been there, literally there was a photographer that had been on station for 4 days. Like, this kid was so green, he had no idea what was going on, right? Like, they all got to go and eat first. Because rank has his privileges, but privilege requires responsibility. And that's what God is telling us. Great leaders are not great because of what they accomplish, but because of who they equip to accomplish greater things. Church, God is saying, when I give you honor, when I give you power, when I give you authority, what you are to do with it is honor and take care of, protect, lift up, raise up those that I haven't yet given that to. So I want us to understand that privilege and power are there to protect and promote. Otherwise, people get jealous. Otherwise, people get ego. Otherwise, people walk in pride. And let me tell you, you know what scripture says? God will humble the proud, but he will raise up the humble. It's not a pretty thing. It's not a fun thing to be humbled. Can I just suggest we all practice raising up people, lifting them up, protecting and providing for them? Because then our differences don't divide us. Our differences unite us, and we become stronger together. We have 2 verses left for today. Can you guys handle it? We are right on time with our family first service. So are you guys ready to read the last 2 verses with me? Okay, let's read, maybe it's 25 through 27. I can't do math. Let's go. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. In the military, we say, you know, you're only as fast as your slowest teammate. Your company run only runs as fast as the slowest people in the company, because you got to stay together. There's a temptation when we're really good at something to go out and be the best, to beat everybody else. In the military, when you're doing PT every day, there's twice a year you want to go out and be the best. When you're doing your PT test, when your promotion depends on it, when you are being graded for how well, how fast you can run. Other than that, the money is not when you finish the finish line first. It's when you can go back and the teammate that's barely making it, the teammate that's chugging along, when you can go backwards, step backwards, and run with them. Because when you do that, they pick up their pace. They make it farther than they thought they could. They make it further than they thought they could. Guys, when one person is suffering, it is our job to go back, to link arms, and to bring them along the way. Because their pain is our pain. And when they win, It is our job to celebrate with them. And you're like, oh, that's good. We can do that. When they win the award you wanted to win. When they get the promotion you wanted to get. It's our job. It's our, God created us to not be jealous of that, but to celebrate that. I don't need to be jealous of a pastor that preaches differently than me, that operates differently than me, that functions differently than me. I want to cheer them on. I want to learn from them because they've got something in their personality that I don't have. And I want to see if there's something I can incorporate. I don't want to slander that. I don't want to dismiss that. Actually, I want them on my team. I want my team made up of people who are all different. Every one of those leader types I mentioned, that's who's on our team. So that together, we've got it. Church, we got to stop. Denominations, we got to stop. Well, this denomination speaks in tongues, and that's wrong. Or this denomination doesn't, so they're not saved. Or this denomination this, or that denomination that. We're all part of the body. Church, we're all part of the body. You know what? I am a female preacher. I'm just going to give you a public service announcement. The Baptists are not going to hell because they don't think I should be standing up here. They are part of the body, and we need to support them in what they are doing and what God has called them to do, and we are going to be our best authentic selves, and we're going to work together to further the kingdom. Husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, siblings, cousins, you are not there to tear down your sibling or your spouse. You're different. That's good. Husbands and wives, you're different. And in more than one way, that's good. Right? It's important. I want to go back to verse 25 to save us. Family Sunday. Verse 25 says, this makes harmony among the members. So that all the members care for each other. There's a song, if you grew up in church, some traditions, some denominations sing the song after the offering plate is passed. It's called the doxology. If you're new, I can't sing, so I'm not going to sing. I'll say the words. I used to visit my grandma's church, and it was like the go-to-sleep boring song, like they pass the plate, and you sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you get on with it. Even one voice singing that song, did that sound really exciting? I wish I could pull the video. Last Easter, it's the Wilson sisters have a version of doxology, and it is all harmony, and it is stunning. It is so stunning that that boring little song we opened Easter service with last year, like that was what they heard, and the harmonies blended all the women on the worship team, and everyone stopped in their tracks. Because the most beautiful note as a single note is just that. But together, it is stunning. It is spectacular. It is harmony. And harmony does not all do the same thing. It is not about us being the same. We get into conflict because we take our differences and fight about them instead of going, that is really awesome. If you weren't here to do that, there would be a gaping hole, and I am better in what I do because of what you do. We are better together because the goal is not the same note. The goal is the same song. Yeah, we're going to wrap up. So I'll save that example for another time. Church, we get in a lot of trouble over differences. We have a lot of problems. We see somebody different, and we raise up our defenses before we stop to appreciate the beauty of what they can do that we cannot. The beauty of who they are that we are not. The challenge for us in this whole message is that as humans, we want it to be all about us, and we live in a world that tells us it's all about us. But the bottom line is, all of us, do we have the bottom line? Yeah. All of us and all our differences are God's perfect plan for his church at its very best. Business leaders, all of you and all of your employees' differences, if you're surrendered to God, they are God's perfect plan for your best business. Clubs, organizations, families, God's perfect plan is not that your differences divide you, and it's not that you beat your differences out of each other verbally. It's that your differences are God's perfect plan for his very best for you. Could we try that? Could we consider what this week might look like if we recognize that everyone had their place, and if we aren't in our place, something is missing? If we asked ourselves the question, who am I underestimating or overlooking, even if it's me? Pastor Shelley, you can go ahead and come up. If we remember that when we are put in places of privilege and power, that privilege and power should protect and promote, not wield. Because, church, the goal is not one note. It's one very, very beautiful song. Pastor Shelley, would you pray for us?
Let's pray. Wow. All right. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you and we praise you, God, for the beautiful mosaic that you have created through each one of us to just reveal your limitlessness, every unique nuance of your nature and character. God, you didn't make us all the same. We thank you, Lord. I pray today, God, that as you have called us through this word, through your word, through the message that Pastor Jen has brought to us today, Lord, you've called us to do life together in harmony, one with another, Lord, so that we would reflect all of who you are. You said we're created in your image and likeness, and that's what you want to be displayed in the earth. God, would you give us eyes to see and hearts to know? Lord, ears to hear your spirit inviting us to do this harmoniously together as one body, to see one another, to see the value, the gifts, the uniqueness that belongs for us to be a whole, one body, God. And may we do it in unity. Lord, your word invites us to be of one heart, one mind, one body, and one accord, all of one spirit. Bring this to our remembrance as we go from here today, Lord, and go into our jobs, our homes, our families, our communities, wherever it is that you're taking us. Lord, help us to be reminded every step of the way that each one matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.